This is The Beat, a conversation about the Charleston County Sheriff's Office and our community. I'm your host, Oshie Alford.
Hello and welcome to The Beat. I'm your host, Oshie, and with me I have...
EC.
EC. Is that like your given name or is it short for anything?
So EC is short for Ezra Charles.
Oh, I like it. It's cool. So tell me about yourself, EC. What do you do here at CCSO?
Well, I am the security captain for the detention center. Mm-hmm. And I've been in that job for just about 1 year.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine you're enjoying it, right?
Yes. I mean, I've been with the sheriff's office for 16 years. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, I was in the Air Force. It's never a dull moment. I enjoy what I do.
Well, good. I'm happy to hear that you're enjoying it at the very least. I mean, you know, they say if you enjoy your job, you never work a day in your life.
But
I don't know if I entirely believe that. Mm-hmm. So how did you find yourself at the sheriff's office and particularly in the detention center?
Well, that's a long story. 2007, when I was retiring from the Air Force, I came here just kind of on a sightseeing. I was originally came to Charleston to sell cars, but someone knew Tim Scott. Tim Scott, Senator Scott now, at the time was the chairman of the Charleston County County Council, and he had a local business, and so I went and saw him. He was going to hire me to do accident investigations, but I did law enforcement stuff in the military. I didn't want to do anything with law enforcement. So he told me, he said, well, why don't you go to the county website and we have some jobs there. So I put in for everything except for the sheriff's office. Mm. And didn't hear anything back. At the time, I knew Sheriff Cannon was a retired Air Force Reserve colonel and had a meeting with him. And he was candid about on both sides, the enforcement side and the detention side, and said he would love to have me. I applied for the detention side. About 4 months later, I was hired, and I've been here ever since.
Wow. That's a long story of a, if it doesn't hurt to ask, right?
Yes. You know, the one thing I think that made it easy for the transition, obviously serving, you know, in the military, you're serving the public, and likewise, when you're working in law enforcement, again, you know, you're serving the citizens of Charleston County, and I think that's why it wasn't an easy fit. Plus, you know, if I would had become a car salesman, every day I would have to think about what I'm going to wear. But in this line of work, I have a uniform just like I did in the military, and so that makes it easy.
Keeps it right on the same track. And you've got, looks like you got about the same haircut too.
Actually, my hair is a lot longer than it was when I was in the military.
Wow. Yeah,
so
okay.
If some of my former airmen would see me now, they would be shocked.
So it's cool because I've heard a lot that the transition is very easy for people who have prior military. I know we have tons of veterans in here. So what training did you have to do to be in your career field? Do you think that aligned with your prior experience or is it all new for you?
I was a cop in the Air Force, but obviously vastly different than what I'm doing right now. So there are some similarities. Yes, we had a jail, but it only held 6 people.
Oh, really?
Whereas we have about 1,000 residents at the detention center right now. But I think one of the biggest things is that, you know, law enforcement is a paramilitary organization. Mm-hmm. And so not quite as stringent as the military, but it's similar structure. And so that what made the transition easy. Whereas a lot of people that maybe we hire off the street, they're not used to the chain of command, that type of structure. That's why I think that the transition is easy for those who have served, mm-hmm. because it's similar, you know, to a degree. And obviously, you know, the training, I received a lot of training when I was in the Air Force over the years that I was in the Air Force. And that has aided me in working for the sheriff's office. A lot of leadership and management training. Mm-hmm. That's important, especially, you know, in light of our situation right now with our staffing. And I tell people, I said, there was not one time when I was in the military to where we went through a period of staffing that we're experiencing right now with the sheriff's office. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, obviously the Department of Defense has a lot bigger budget. I know that I work harder than I was, than I did, even mm-hmm. when I was in combat zones here at the sheriff's office because of what it takes to get through a shift. And I think the public, they probably don't understand, you know, when you have a severe staffing crisis like we have, mm-hmm. how do they survive? And because we're behind four walls, the public doesn't actually know or see what's going on.
So how do you combat that staffing shortages? Is that just means that all of you have to work that much harder to make up the difference?
Mandatory overtime.
Okay.
So everyone, lieutenants and below, are on mandatory overtime. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of our staff members who might make sacrifices. Like, for instance, they're supposed to be off for 4 days. They may work three voluntary days plus their, well, two voluntary days plus their mandatory overtime. Mm-hmm. Just to assist the other teams. Currently, we have 83 vacancies. Mm-hmm. And so it takes a team effort, not once a month, but each day. Shifts are 12.25 hours. We have just under 1,000 residents. And we have new arrestees coming in the facility every day. Mm-hmm. It's very tough.
So how do you support your staff during this time? I mean, if everybody's working overtime, mandatory overtime, that's got to be incredibly strenuous on everyone.
It is. We have programs that we offer our staff members, you know, to combat stress. And sometimes supervisors have to step in and let them know, hey, I know you want to work today or volunteer two of your 3 days off, but you need a break. Mm-hmm. You know, so we have to be cognizant of our staff. The arresting officer may spend 30 minutes with the arrestee. Mm-hmm. And they drop them off to us. We have them for 12.25 hours. Mm-hmm. Responsible for their clothing, their food, breakfast, lunch, dinner, all those things. That can be very tasking. In addition, we have a lot of mental health residents, you know, because the states don't have a lot of mental health beds. A lot of mental health individuals end up in jail.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So what would you tell someone who's interested in pursuing this career field in particular? How should they prepare themselves?
Well, Sheriff Cannon said years ago that his best road deputies are deputies with detention center experience. Mm-hmm. For our staff members, other than supervisors and our emergency response team, the only weapons you have is your voice, a personal alarm, and your radio, mm-hmm. and your hands. Everyone that walks through gate 11, which is our staff entrance, is a supervisor. You're either going to be supervising residents, mm-hmm. or you're going to be supervising residents and staff. And resident to staff ratio is 64-1, so that we may have one deputy, detention deputy, in a unit with 64 residents. You got to run that unit. You're in charge. Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of, that takes confidence, perseverance, and you can't be afraid. It's not for everyone.
It sounds intimidating. Because I remember, if I remember correctly, for classrooms, the mandated class size is like 30. Mm-hmm. And that's children.
Right.
And these are adults.
Yes. You know, we treat all residents, regardless of their charges, with dignity and respect. When you give respect, you get respect back. You know, there's always going to be one or two, you know, a few situations to where that's not going to be the case. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, everyone, every resident, to me, for the past 16 years, is sir or ma'am, regardless of whether they're younger than myself or not.
So you mentioned already your staffing shortages.
Yes.
That you're experiencing, which everybody is experiencing. When do you think that happened, and why do you think that started?
So in 2010, the county spent $200 million to expand the jail, and that brought us Bravo Charlie Tower. That concept, unlike the old jail, was an open bay with one deputy per 64 residents. We hired 50 deputies at one time. The academy actually came here and did the academy. The first year, everything was fine. You couldn't get voluntary overtime. Everything was fully staffed. Well, about 1 year into that, the staff members realized that the culture of the jail had changed. Mm. Versus having two or three partners with you, they were by themselves. And running one unit. So basically you would see your coworkers at shift briefing and maybe at lunch, but for the most part, it was just you and the 64 residents. So 1 year after we opened the new facility, the trickle started. Probably 4 years into it, they realized that, hey, we need to change the mandatory overtime frequency. So that was the first thing that was done. The next step, they put the sergeants on mandatory overtime. Then they put the lieutenants on mandatory overtime, and then of course, and things, you know, just continue to get worse. The only positive light that we've seen is within the last 6 months. So back in December 2022, the sheriffs fought for a market pay increase. We probably hired 37 deputies since December. It's the first time, probably in the last 5-6 years, that our staffing on June 30th is better than it was on January the 1st.
Wow.
Yes.
So that's a huge difference, yes. A huge increase of people. So do you believe these issues that you guys are experiencing would be remedied by having more people? Is that really just as simple as that?
You're not going to fix a 12-year problem in 6 months.
Right.
We have a long way to go. And as a result of our staffing, there's a lot of services we used to do that we can't do anymore. Almost half of our housing units are vacant because we don't have the staff to fill those. Mm-hmm. You know, if the trend continues, by December the 31st, we will be a little bit better. Just in my division alone, I'm short 22 deputies. So everything is minimum staffing. If we hired 83 people tomorrow, and of course, and it's going to take about 2 months before that person mm-hmm. is ready to start working, but then those 83 deputies have to go to the academy as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're talking about, you know, really potentially a year, mm-hmm. you know, before things are like, okay.
Before you start to see a significant change.
Yes, we're trending in the right direction, but we're by no means out of the woods.
So, and that's all assuming that the people that we have are going to stay and that the people who are going through training are going to stay.
And that's another battle we have to fight, you know, is retention. Mm-hmm. Because if you can imagine, when I started, I had three partners in the unit with me. Granted, those units had 200 residents in them and they were sleeping on mats on the floor, mm-hmm. but I had three partners. So we shared the workload. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Those same units, even though they have half the number of units, residents in Alpha Tower, that deputy is by themselves. Mm-hmm. And so they have to handle the breakfast, the lunch, the dinner, the uniform exchange, the linen exchange, family visitation, professional visitation, med pass, all those things. Mm-hmm. On a day shift, they are working nonstop from the time they leave shift briefing at 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. until the time their shift ends.
Wow. And I can imagine that would be emotionally and mentally
yes.
taxing to be alone for that yes. amount of time. And then you don't have somebody that you could just crack a joke with right. or anything. Well, I mean, unless you talk to the residents. Do you guys, like, joke with the residents?
And yes,
talk with
I them? Mean, you know, again, when you spend that much time in a unit and stuff, you know, obviously there's a fine line. Mm-hmm. You know, you must stay professional.
So if there's anything that you had that you wanted to say to just the average person in Charleston County, what would that be?
If you're looking for a challenge, if you want to serve your community, join us. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you guys are interested in working for Charleston County Sheriff's Office, particularly in the detention center, go ahead and check out CCSO Jobs, and we'd be happy to have you. Thank you again for coming in and talking with me today.
Thank you.
This has been The Beat, a conversation about the Charleston County Sheriff's Office and our community. I'm your host, Oshie Alford. Look for future episodes by following the Charleston County Sheriff's Office on Facebook, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.